Kirsten van der Veer come and be with us. And oh, yes, this lovely family, his wife and their little boy. So good to have you folks with us. Will you want to use this mic? I know he's got a lapel mic, and she'll use this. Good. Let's give them a good welcome.
Thank you, Pastor Emma. You know, we had Joshua up here in his red today, trying to keep up with you today. You know, so you two definitely do. So thank you so much. It's great to be here at Glendive Assembly of God. Thank you, Pastor, for introducing us. And I wanted to start out by talking a little bit about KGLE radio. How many of you listen to KGLE? I see a number of hands up out there. That's good. A number of hands, so many I can't even count them right now, but it's great to be here. We wanted to talk a little bit about KGLE first, and as Joshua allows us up here, he's waving a little bit to you, that maybe my wife will share a few correspondence messages that we receive from our listening audience. So in case he starts acting up a little bit, last church we were in, he was wanting to grab the mic. And he has a little karaoke machine at home with some, you know, learning songs and Hickory Dickory Dock and those type songs that are on there. He's really into that, really into that. I mean, he wants us to sit on our laps and do that for hours, it seems. So he might want to grab the microphone, but I was going to ask my wife, Laura Beth van der Veer, Dr. Laura Beth van der Veer. She's an education professor up at Dawson Community College when she's not tending to Joshua. A little claps there for DCC. If she would share a little bit with us some messages on what we hear from our listeners coming in, so I will hand it off to her.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having us here today. I just wanted to share a couple of the letters that come in to KGLE from the listeners. Do you want to go ahead and grab our little wild child? So one of the listeners wrote in and said that they lived in Fallon, Montana. They've been listening to KGLE, and they love the format. They mentioned the music, programs, local news, and the national news. They say it presents a balanced opportunity to those with ears tuned in, and they say, well done. And then another gentleman says, Mike of Glendive said our station has better programming and music than any station he knows. He is pleased to contribute financially, even if he missed the Share-a-thon days, which Justin will talk about later. Then there's a new female listener. She mentions that she has included a check to support the ministry. She says, as my sight is struggling with AMD, I now resort to listening to radio and the benefits of using Google Home for a lot of information. She mentions the information that she gets, time, temperature. She also likes the news and the music, but also the Christian programming. She says, it encourages me day and night, even as I lay awake at night, sometimes in pain. She says, I want to say thank you. She says, I just want to say thank you for all of your work and the wonderful music and teaching. She says, through the internet, she says she can now get a clear signal. I guess she's from southern Saskatchewan. She says the air signal was not consistent, so she is grateful for new technology. And then this is a birthday card my mom sent to KGLE for 57 years of ministry. She says, it sounds funny to tell a radio station happy birthday, but she says that she does listen when she's not listening to her local Christian station. My mom says that she prays for many more years for KGLE to minister, and she sent a check for $57. She said that she wished she could have had some of the birthday cake. And there's many, many more letters that are sent in, people just saying thank you for the ministry of KGLE. Many really don't or aren't able to get out just due to health issues and different complications, and so they really enjoy the ministry that KGLE is for them. So I'll hand it back to Justin and get this little guy.
Thank you, Laura Beth. All right, so we appreciate that. Give me a minute to set the microphone down. Guys, if we could cue up the 2019 KGLE slides, if you would. You noticed I was down on my one knee when Laura Beth was speaking. I kind of like getting down on one knee when she's around, if you know what I mean. So it's just kind of a habit of mine. But Joshua can get a little antsy, but it's great again to be here. All right, so if I can get this clipped into my belt here, then we'll get rolling. But as you can see, KJLE represents the listeners in Eastern Montana and Western North Dakota and beyond. We've been around for, 57 years now, per the card that Laura Beth shared from her mom. So we're at about 57 and a half years or so now. So a big footprint in this area, a long history, and we're definitely grateful to be here in that way. Next slide talks about some of our contact information. We're at AM 590 on your AM dial. Some may not listen as much to AM radio. That's understandable. You can get us online at kgle.org. So be aware of that as well. That's also compatible with your smartphone as well, your listener, listening device to be able to listen on your phone as well. So kgle.org. You can find us on Facebook at KGLE Radio AM 590. And then find us on Twitter as well. Occasionally we'll send a Twitter message out. And what I tend to do, so I don't forget here, is I tend to get a picture with the pastor. So any of the pastors that are here, I guess Pastor Jason went down to the children's room, or Pastor Emma, maybe afterwards we get a picture with you, and I put it up on our Facebook page, only if you really want to. I mean, you're looking pretty good in that red dress today, so so we could do that if you're up to that afterwards. Just to give a shout-out, we called our hashtag Shared KGLE Tour, being out and about throughout Eastern Montana and Western North Dakota, just so I get to know the listeners a bit more. I mean, I've only been here a little over a year, you know, when we rolled into town, so it's good to be here, but just getting to know the folks more and sharing our message. Some people, it's kind of like a hidden treasure. Isn't there a parable in the Bible about that? About a hidden treasure that people don't know that we exist and we can be an additional resource. I like to say, you know, in addition to what you have going on here in your local church, we're not to take away what you're doing in the local church. This is primarily, I believe, where your support should go to. In addition to that, kind of look at us as a local missionary here at KGLE Gospel Radio. You can see our phone numbers up on there if you need to get a hold of us, our main email address as well. As we move to the next slide, we can see some programs that we offer. Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah, that's a pretty well-known one. Insight for Living with Chuck Swindoll, that's the one that plays early in the mornings, or about mid-mornings on KGLE. In fact, before my family and I came up here, we attended Chuck Swindoll's church there, so kind of an interesting history there. And Joshua was dedicated, they had a baby dedication. He was dedicated to the Lord, so to speak, there at the church. So we enjoyed that, and thankful to be able to broadcast his messages, his broadcast program. Focus on the Families, another program, plays two times a day. Some great information for families, and a lot of great guests they have on there. In the Market with Janet Parshall, receive a lot of good feedback on that. Oh, speaking of feedback, before I forget to say, in the back, I didn't actually put those out yet. I have program guides, but I can pull out some survey cards. And if you're interested, if you're a listener, a little bit or a lot, it could be one per family. Not everyone has to, but sometimes during the service, I'll actually pass them out. I don't want to distract, though, because you're going to pretend that you're going to want to hear my message today, right? Right. So, but I have some survey cards in the back that you could fill out, kind of give them some feedback on how you listen and maybe what any suggestions that you may have. And then there's a little card you could tear off if your refrigerator is still magnetic. I don't know. You can put it up on the refrigerator, a picture of the staff, and remember to pray for us. Speaking of our staff, we have we'll be getting to that picture here in just a minute. But as we finish up on this slide, we have kids programming on Saturday mornings. We have news, weather, farm news, like Laura Beth read in her message, kind of a balanced view, international news, national news, and local news. That's important to this area. Local news, agriculture, very vital. Farming and ranching, so we appreciate getting some great agricultural news to you throughout the day. We think that obviously is very vital. As well in the back, let me mention, I gave some pencils out to Jariah and some others came and picked up, but there's some pencils. I'd love to get them out into the hands of students to get that out into the school system with our contact information, our new emblem and so forth. Pens as well, you can feel free to grab one. And program guides, a paper program guide. You can get one online as well on our website, which is, what is it again? Yes, kgle.org. You got it. Very good, class. All right. Wait, it's not class. My wife's the one who teaches here. All right. Next slide, a picture of our ugly mugs there, of the staff, some that are much more well-known than me just because they have served so many years. I'm very grateful for them. I'm standing on their shoulders. People like Jim McBride in the blue vest. He's down just part-time, just a couple days a week, with us, but what an attitude of service he has. And his wife, Ellen, who's contributed KGLE for so many years. Connie in the black next to Jim, and then Cody in the black shirt, operations manager. Diane in the gray sweater, our office manager. And then I'm sitting down there, so we appreciate our staff. Some of them have served for 20 years and more. So, excuse me. So they have a great history, and we do appreciate them. Next slide shows our new logo as we roll to the next slide here. You'll have to fast forward through some dates on when they started, but they got to it. Appreciate the sound crew up there. Now, last week I was at a church. I'm digressing here, but last week the sound room, was it last week? I'm trying to remember all these churches I go to. The room for the sound room guys and ladies that are up there, it was really a steep ladder. It was very, very steep. I'm like, they get a workout just climbing up there to go to the sound booth. It was a new building, but it was like really steep. So these steps were a little more friendly getting up this morning, but I digress. All right, on to our slogan here. As you can see, it's Broadcasting God's Message, KGLE, our Share-a-thon 2019 that happened back in October 10th and 11th. And then our sub-theme, Listen, Apply, and Live. And we're not just about hearing God's word, although that's very important, like listening to KGLE, that's important, but also we want to apply what we live and not just be kind of like a dead pond. A pond that has no outlet becomes scummy. There's no outlet. We can get all this great information from church here, but we need an outlet really to live God's word, be authentic in that way. And that's really the theme that we have for this year. Our Share-a-thon, as we go to our next slide, has took place there in October, a couple days where we stopped our normal programming. How many of you listened in at all to Share-a-thon? All right, I see a number of hands that are out there. What is Share-a-thon, Justin? What in the world is that? But it really is the 2 days where we jumpstart our listener portion of our operating expenses, the giving by our listeners. The vast majority of our income comes from listeners, just like you. And so we appreciate that. That's very vital for what we do. We had phone interviews, different people I had a chance to interview. Dr. Jeremiah, we had a live phone call with him. You know, people like that. So it was a neat time. Jerry Stewart was our special guest. He was a guy in from, ironically, from North Texas, where we had moved in from. I didn't know him when the time I had lived there, but he came in. He has our One Moment in America program. Kind of a funny guy. I mean, accountant, you think like a numbers person, kind of like, I don't know how else to say it, maybe a little boring. Just really, I mean, numbers are great. I like numbers. I really do. I like math, but he was kind of a wild guy. Any of you that listened in, you probably have sensed that about him. He would break out in song. He was just kind of a crazy, zany guy. Did a nice job. We appreciate Jerry Stewart coming in. Oh, Kelly Stewart was his wife. She lived in Sydney, Montana for several years. So that was kind of a neat local connection in that way. Good prizes, good participation from friends. Tune in next year to Share-a-thon. Next slide then talks about some of the fast forward again here as we fill in the slide. Share-a-thon giving was great. Our Share-a-thon over those 2 days, we raised $90,000. I think pretty analogous to what we have other years for those 2 days in light of up and down agricultural year. I mean, the weather was really created some uncertainty in the minds of many farmers and ranchers. Our Share-a-thon need is $236,000. We raised that. And when I came in a little over a year ago, I recommended we need to raise our listener need because we have been drawing for some years. I have noticed, and others might have noticed it too, it's just not about me, but we have been drawing from our reserves. And if you continue to do that, I mean, it's not rocket science that eventually, you know, that it could be problematic. So we're thankful for those reserves. They're there for a reason to be used as needed. But we want to bring our financial needs more distinctly before you. And that's one reason that I'm going around and doing this. That's not the only reason, but that is a reason to bring these needs very forthrightly to you. We are now up to $126,000, so I think that's about 54%. I told you I like numbers, right? We're about up to 54% of what we need. So since Share-a-thon, I think it's been pretty healthy, the amount that has come in. We need to continue that momentum. And that's why we're on our way, a good Lord willing, to $236,000. You know, back in the early 1990s, KGLE was going to go off the air. And new ownership was coming in from the existing broadcasting company that owned KGLE, and they were going to go off the air. What happened, for many of you that were around here, I was not, but a nonprofit was created. A number of people came together, donated weed and grain and so forth to raise money, and the local nonprofit, it's locally owned, bought out KGLE. So if you are a listener and donator to KGLE, you're actually part owner of what we do. So it's just not a cliche. As you're a member of the nonprofit, you're actually part owner. So when we have our annual business meeting that takes place in March, what's March 7th this year, and it's going to be in Circle, Montana this year, because it travels around to our relatively vast listening area. I mean, we reach, as my wife said, reach all the way into, hi, honey, reach all the way into southern Saskatchewan. Or Beth's like, why is he acting nice all of a sudden to me? No, I'm kidding. But she's shaking her head and smiling at me. But so we have a vast listing audience, we really do. But we travel around our different business meetings, and that's why we'll be in Circle this year. But we encourage you to come. Next slide talks about donors that are needed. If you have ideas for people that maybe they have some family set up a foundation, doesn't mean they're really super rich if they have that, but some foundations do, family foundations donate to us. If you have a business, other foundation you know, for us to raise some money, we want to expand what we're doing. I'm open to those ideas, and I'd ask for you to contact me in that way. You see our email address at justin@kgle.org, and again, our phone numbers. So next slide talks about our challenge is to continue to give God the glory for all that he's accomplished for these past 57 years. That's a long time in radio. Where I had been previously in Christian radio, they had they're probably at about 65 years, but they started really at the early time when radio really came to the forefront, and 57 years really is a long time, and God has had his hand on KGLE Gospel Radio. We appreciate being able to partner with churches like Glendive Assembly of God. We look to continue to do that as the Lord allows us to continue. You know, some might say, well, I don't listen to radio as much as I used to. There's different media platforms, and there are. But again, through our website, through your car receiver, which is a big way, even through your phone, people tell me a lot of different ways that they listen, and I trust that's helpful to you. And radio, we've seen some changes in the industry, to be sure, but it points to the vast majority of American adults, if you track the statistics out of what happens over a week, so many, I mean 90-some percent, end up tuning into radio. So it's a very common media, and it serves well locally. You know, if cell phones went down and you didn't have your phone, Jariah, or anyone else of us that tend to like our phones, radio could be there in the time of emergency, and it has been. So there can be such a time where that will happen, where radio really will be the main medium of communication. That's not unheard of to think that could happen, the loss of power and, say, the loss of cell towers as well. As we move to the next slide, well, you'll see let's all determine to pray, please, how important that is. We saw some ladies praying in the back during prayer time. Thank you for that, how important that is. Pray for our equipment to function well. Cody gives leadership to our equipment. We appreciate him. Effectiveness for the kingdom. Continuing strong support. I've made the case there, hopefully. Strength and inspiration for the staff. A number of them have sacrificed for a number of years working for a nonprofit, for a ministry. They probably could be making some more money elsewhere than what they make, and that's important to remember as well, so you keep that in mind. Some of you see me out in the community working a second job. It's not to say, look at me, but you know there's needs that I have for my family and the other staff as well, and we'd ask for your consideration in that way. Wisdom for the FCR board, that they would be able to make good decisions. We have a board meeting this coming Saturday, actually. So we're getting that ramped up and ready to go. As we conclude the slides, I think there's one more, guys. It talks about from the board and the staff, thank you for being a great friend of Christian Radio, and we do appreciate all that you do in that way. Well, we can shut that down now, and if you have your Bible, there's a pew Bible there. In fact, I brought one up here to complement the Bible that I brought along this morning. We're going to look in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, if you would open your Bibles up. You know, some time ago, it was, again, a number of years back, I would say. Now, I was speaking to a group of youth, and when I went in there to speak with them, I was asked not to bring in my Christian side, not really to mention Jesus Christ, So I tried to abide by what I was asked to do. Meanwhile, the person who was kind of leading the group, he brought in the religious figure that he followed, the Prophet Muhammad. He would cite him and quote him, but I wasn't supposed to mention anything about Jesus. So, you know, again, I tried to abide by that, and you know, that was okay. Hopefully, we were able to have an impact on the youth that were there. But it made me think, you know, why do I believe in Jesus Christ? There's so many options out there. The Prophet Muhammad, there's Buddhism, there's no religion, there's following all kinds of different things that you see, Hollywood people following for at least for a while, scientific things that they follow. Why do I believe in Jesus Christ? Is he the answer, and why is he? So we're going to talk briefly about that today, and I hope that is an encouragement to you. So I came across this information, and I appreciate, in fact, I wrote the gentleman who I first heard this information from. I've tailored it to what we're doing today and so forth, but I appreciate being able to reach out to that gentleman, that Dr. Rogers. So John chapter 6, as we look at this chapter, we would start out at the beginning where Jesus fed the 5,000. That was just men, mind you. So women and children, I don't know, 10, 15,000, maybe more. But thousands upon thousands Jesus fed. And how did he feed them? Where did the food come from? Anyone remember? That one boy's lunch, right? The 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. I see some brains turning out there. So Jesus fed 5,000 people. So, I mean, when you're getting free food, we like food, right? Right? I heard that this morning. So when it comes to food, that can draw a crowd, can it not? So Jesus is feeding 5,000 people. Then you go on later in the chapter. He talks about, what else did he do? He walked on water then, right? Yeah, because the disciples were going out and they rode probably a good, might have been about 3 miles, or so out there on the waters. In fact, in the New King James, it does say 3 or 4 miles. Okay, my Bible didn't, but it broke it into the English parlance here. So the disciples are out there rowing 3 or 4 miles. They were fishermen, of course, and then Jesus came and walked on the water to them. He said, "It is I. Do not be afraid," in verse 20. So Jesus is performing some big miracles here. He's starting to get a crowd. He just fed thousands upon thousands of people. And then he says, then he gives kind of a hard sermon saying, if you want to participate with me, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And especially for a Jewish audience, if not us, it's kind of like, whoa, I mean, that's really a turnoff there. Now, was Jesus literally saying that? No, I do not believe that at all. But he was saying, you need to participate in my life. It's not literally his flesh or literally his blood, but the part of identifying with him and his mission, his message, putting your salvation in Jesus Christ alone and his finished work. So there's a lot that's going on in this chapter, and he's kind of backing some people off. And some people, after they heard that message, the Bible says, started to walk away. So he said to his disciples toward the end in verse 67, let's look at verse 67 of John chapter 6. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" And as we continue, but Simon Peter answered him, said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Well, that's John chapter 6, verses 66 through 69. No greater words Simon Peter may have said than what we have here in this account of John chapter 6, the Gospel of John here. And I think that God's Spirit was moving through Peter and saying these words, very powerful words from Peter, kind of asked, you know, where else are we going to go? Simon Peter said, if you're not the way. And it made me think here as, you know, why is Jesus Christ the way? You know, as I mentioned earlier, are we going to turn to atheism, a belief in no God, believe that the heavens and the earth created themselves? Does that make sense? We see everything out here in this beautiful day with the snow out there, that all this just happened by chance. Some might believe that. A nobody times nothing equals everything. That doesn't seem to make mathematical sense to me, where many of us, I trust and hear as I as well, believe in a creator God. And there could be differences of opinion on how it all came about, but the part that the great mover, God himself, helped create everything that we see today. Now, you know, when it comes to atheists, a number of them, if they're honest, if there's one thing to be an honest doubter versus a dishonest doubter. An honest doubter would admit, I don't know everything. And if we're honest, we would say that. There's so much knowledge out there in today's world. How do we know everything? I may have a little corner on truth. Others would have a bigger corner. But there's so much I don't know. So I would say in that big section of knowledge that I don't know, might it be possible that God exists in there? And I would say yes.
So some people, when you talk with them, they might say, okay, I'm at least an agnostic now. I won't say there is no God. I just don't know if there is. And maybe sometimes they don't care or pretend they don't. But when it comes to these big questions that we're probably all asking life at some time, we'll want to know these things. So if you look in history, speaking of atheists, and some of them are more popular today with what's called the new atheists, Hitchens and Dawkins and so forth, if you follow any of these things, they've gained a bit of a following. Even in the United States, atheism has grown percentage-wise from a very small percentage they've grown, so it may look bigger than what it actually is, but it's a very real issue to people today. You know, but if you look throughout history, some of the really smart people, I'm not one of them, the intelligentsia, some people would say, many of them have believed in God throughout history. You look at Socrates, Plato, Galileo, Newton, Pasteur, some of these great scientists and so forth throughout history, many did believe in God. They were theists at that level. They believed in a God. They may have not believed in the Christian God or God of the Bible, but they at least had a belief in a supreme being. You might say, well, Justin, the theory of evolution wasn't as popular then. But even before Charles Darwin, even some of the great Greek philosophers back in that time, they toyed with the idea of evolution. So it's not like that theory was totally unheard of, but many scientists believed in God, and many had great impact on the field of science. You look at astronomers, those that study looking at the heavens and all the stars. It is said that of scientists, they have the highest percentage of people that believe in God. Why? They look into the heavens, and they're amazed by all these stars. It's just the amount of stars is just amazing. You know, throughout history, and I've jotted down here in some notes on the side, in 128 BC, before the time that Jesus Christ literally walked this earth, we'll make the case today, there literally was a man named Jesus Christ who walked this earth. 128 BC, before Jesus walked this earth, Hipparchus studied the heavens, and he came out with, drumroll, he said 1,026 stars. He said that's all the stars that there are, 1,026. Well, you jump up some years later for sake of time, 1600 AD, the year of our Lord, 1600, Kepler also studied, and he came out with a figure that didn't do justice to how many that we know that there are now. In last thing that I know, and this number could be wrong because this is back, you know, 10 years or so, it's believed there are 70 sextillion stars. There's so many stars. That's like 70 times 10 to the 21st power. Just keep adding zeros, zeros, and zeros, and zeros onto the exponents. You know, Jeremiah, where is it? I thought I had it down here. In Jeremiah, where is it? The Bible says the stars are innumerable. You can't count them. God's word already said that they're innumerable. And as we study and get greater telescopes, it gives the case. How about if we don't turn to atheism, we turn to philosophy? A philosophy, some say it's a system that tells us what we already know in words that we can't understand. You know, philosophy is why do things happen the way they do? We all, in some ways, wonder why things are the way they are. So we have that. But some of the great philosophers, Schopenhauer, said, life is a curse of endless craving and endless unhappiness. He didn't seem like philosophy really satisfied the deepest longings of his heart and soul. Alexis Huxley said, it seems like we human beings are a cancer on the globe. Kind of a pessimistic dude. He didn't think too highly of human beings. Bertrand Russell said, philosophy proved a washout to me. Here's an atheist. I mean, he just, when he's looking back on his life, philosophy is not satisfying the deepest longings of his heart. H.G. Wells said, unless there's a more abundant scheme before mankind, this scheme of space and time is a bad joke. He didn't think very highly of that. And some other things I came across I found real interesting. Of the 54 great philosophers that some classify throughout history, 40 of them believed in God. They were theists. They believed in God. Of the 14 great philosophers who didn't believe in God, all 14 of them, get this, hated their earthly father. They hate their earthly father, and they don't believe that God exists. Isn't that interesting? I can't say one caused the other, but it's a very interesting connection, perhaps, between the two. Of those 14 atheists, by the way, 8 of them were sons of dogmatic, probably biblical preachers, dogmatic Christian teachers. So interesting in that way. They pushed against their religion, perhaps, and they end up buying into atheism. Isn't that interesting? The great philosophers, all of them, hated their earthly father. How about materialism? Does stuff satisfy? Well, not really. Things don't ultimately satisfy. We live in a wealthy nation on many accounts compared to what's going on around the world. You know, my wife has taught a couple different places around the world, And she has seen some things teaching in Asia and then Eastern Europe, some areas that don't have as much as what we have. And it gives her and others who have, perhaps have traveled, an appreciation. But materialism only doesn't satisfy. You know, God made you for God. I would make the case anything else will only leave you at some level empty, only satisfy for some time. How about false religions? Like I said, there's so many other religions out there. Pick and choose what you want to believe. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. If it works for me, it's kind of postmodern. But no, false religions only don't satisfy. Peter said, I would make the case in verse 68, you alone have the words of eternal life. You know, if you go to the grave of Confucius, his grave is occupied. If you go to Buddha's grave, it's occupied. You can name anyone that you want to look at. Muhammad's grave is occupied, but you go to Jesus' grave, it's empty. And it is empty, and that's the only person who's ever done it in human history. We're all looking to extend life, probably, if we're in our right mind, right? We spend all kinds of money to extend life, study things, arguably as it's good to do. We're all trying to push off death as long as we can, but eventually it's going to catch up to us. And it may be sooner than what we think. Just two Tuesdays ago, we had a very interesting day, my family and I. That afternoon, our son Joshua was diagnosed with scarlet fever. And we think he's through it now. Then that night, my mom passed. And so it was a difficult day at some level. It wasn't totally unexpected. My mom had a rare kidney disease. Don't know how it came about. Life can happen. And she passed. So again, a tough day. It wasn't totally unexpected on her behalf. But we don't know. You know, so here I am believing in Jesus Christ. I've had the opportunity for most of my life to be in a Christian home. Is this stuff really real? Do I have confidence that my mom is in heaven? And I do, without a doubt, without a doubt. So you go to these people's graves, and they're empty. You know, if you take Christ out of Christianity, it doesn't really work. It's a good system at some level, good morals and so forth to apply to a society like the United States has in a lot of ways. But ultimately, Christianity is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and he needs to be a living human being, and he is. And for those who were praying back there today, or all of us, when we pray, we do it through Jesus Christ. He is our intercessor. He's literally taking our prayer request to God the Father, and we can have confidence in that. All right, so you're trying to make the case that other things aren't right, Justin, but why is Jesus the way? Why can we believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is? Well, four reasons today, and if you want to take notes, you can. And on the backs of your bulletin, there's a place to take that. Not that you have to, but four reasons I'll give you today for why we can believe in Jesus Christ. First of all, for historical reasons. Jesus Christ is a fact of history. You look at historians, H.G. Wells and so forth, a very famous historian. Of the 10 most important people in human history, he had Jesus Christ number one. Even if some of these people didn't believe in Jesus Christ as the personal Lord and Savior, how they've impacted human history, Jesus Christ is number one, even the minds of people that don't even believe in him. Sir J.G. Fraser, another historian, not a Christian, not an evangelical Christian, like I'm sure many of us are in this church here today, not a Christian, but he said, my theory, his theory on history, assumes the historical reality of Jesus of Nazareth as the great religious and moral teacher who founded Christianity and was crucified at Jerusalem under the governorship of Pontius Pilate. The testimonies of the Gospels confirmed by the hostile evidence of Tacitus and younger Pliny appears amply sufficient to establish these facts to the satisfaction of unprejudiced inquirers, unquote. Explain that to us, Justin. What in the world did you just say? What I think he's saying here is, he's saying, my theory, his theory of history assumes that there was a man named Jesus who lived, the testimonies of the Gospels, and then hostile evidence. People that didn't like Jesus, didn't like Christians, they said, hey, Jesus walked this earth. There's hostile evidence there. We could talk about that, even how the Gospels represent certain things that wouldn't give credence. One example, the women who were the first one to, when they went to the grave and Jesus wasn't there, they went and ran back to the disciples and said, the grave is empty. We talked to an angel. They told them that to include the testimony of women in the Gospels really would be to do a mark on it, because in that day, the testimony of women was looked down on and held in low regard. So the Gospels, including the testimony of women, would tend to not give evidence, but the Gospel just said, hey, here's the proof, whether you want it or not. It's interesting how the Gospels has the bad news about people, they were sinners, except Jesus, and the good news about people, kind of reminds me of myself, right? But anyway, so these people are saying, yeah, Jesus Christ definitely walked this earth. You know, we live in a year called, what, AD 2019? AD means Anno Domini in Latin, in the year of our Lord. You know, recognizing we date our calendar by Jesus Christ. Some may have an alternate dating system, but AD obviously is very common. You know, we write our date on a check, if we still do that, on a paper check, or whatever, a date that we're writing on a homework assignment, we're giving testimony to the fact that Jesus Christ walked this earth, and we can have confidence in that. Even look at our U.S. Constitution. It says, at the end, it says, in the year of our Lord, 1787, they were giving testimony to Jesus Christ, even in the Constitution. Someone says, there's no Christian references in there. They say the year of our Lord. They say a bill will not become law if it sits for 10 days. It will become a law, should I say, Sundays excepted. It says they didn't count Sunday. Why? They were giving credibility to the Lord's Day, as what we're doing here, being in church this morning. It's amazing throughout history, the history of this country. So Jesus Christ has clearly impacted history. How about the early church? How do you explain people that gave their lives for something? It's one thing to lie to get out of trouble. We probably have all been there. There's part liar in all of us, I'm sure, because we're all sinners. But we lie to get out of trouble. Do you ever lie to get into trouble? People deny that Jesus Christ walked out of the grave, or I'll kill you. Why would I lie and say, even though I knew that he was still in the grave as one of his disciples, why would I lie and then die over a lie that I knew was false? I'd, you know, say what they wanted just to save my own skin, right? So people don't lie to get into trouble, but these people that lied and they died. How many of his disciples died? Peter was crucified upside down. So many of these people, they were scared when Jesus died. They were running for their lives, and then after Jesus Christ, they knew he came back, they were changed people. Why? Because he's the only person in history that's done that. The Bible says that Jesus appeared to 500 people at one time. Some people say, well, they may have been hallucinating. Maybe they were on something, or I don't know. But 500 people at one time in one place, that's a whole lot of hallucinations. And the way that changed people's lives, we could go on and on. There's theories out there. Some people say, well, the disciples stole his body. But they had his grave armed with Roman soldiers that if Jesus got out, they might lose their lives. So soldiers, they were motivated to watch that grave. We could go on and on. The proof is in the limited time that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. The Bible says he has shown himself to be alive with many infallible proofs. Infallible meaning you can't break that down. They're true, definitely true proofs. How about another reason we can believe in Jesus Christ? Secondly, for scriptural reasons. Scriptural reasons. Here early on in John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, verse 45, and they shall all be taught by God. Jesus was referencing the scriptures in making a case for himself. You know, it kind of brings the idea of the Bible. What you're saying, we can believe that Jesus Christ is true because we can believe the Bible, but it begs the question, why can we believe that the Bible's true? We could talk all day about this, but to give you a few quick reasons, some shared in the acronym called MAPS, M-A-P-S, all right? Think of a map. First of all, manuscripts. You know, the New Testament, manuscripts that date back to the 1st and 2nd century, it's a short time after Jesus Christ was on this earth, 5,700 manuscripts of the New Testament. You look at other books in history, when you're in literature class and say you're studying the Iliad from ancient Greece, Homer, Iliad, there's 643 copies of that. The New Testament dwarfs all their books throughout history. There's so much proof to trust in the Bible. It's very, I think, very comforting. Julius Caesar's Gallic Wars. Julius Caesar, great guy in history, only 10 copies. But what person, what historian would question that book doesn't exist? Homer didn't write the Iliad. That's just a big joke. You wouldn't do that, but yet people question the Bible. When I would make the case, there's arguably a lot more evidence for the Bible. So manuscripts. The Old Testament, the Dead Sea Scrolls found back in 1947, provided word-for-word accuracy of the Old Testament. It was hidden. Those bottles were hidden in that cave, and that shepherd boy threw a rock in there and heard glass break, and then he went in there, found these ancient manuscripts. It confirmed 95% of the Old Testament Bible, and of the 5% that, you know, there's some latitude, it doesn't change any major doctrines or anything. We can trust the Old Testament. We can trust the New Testament. Next in the maps, A is for archaeology. There's so much evidence for archaeology. The further we go in history, there's more and more evidence for that. Just don't have time to get into that. P for prophecy. Over, some say, 300 prophecies in the Bible. The Bible predicted something would happen. It does. And a lot of them have already been, and we're waiting for our Lord to return, right? And yet more is going to be proven here in time. S, secular sources. Even those that aren't Christian, say, or religious or spiritual, secular sources, many of them discuss the Bible and the life of Jesus. And I read some of their quotations this morning. There's so much evidence out there that the Bible can be trusted. So there's a few proofs there that the Bible is exactly what it says it is, and that we can count on that. A third reason, as we look to wrap up here this morning, thank you, Justin. A third reason we can believe in Jesus Christ is for spiritual reasons, for spiritual reasons. The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 63, as you can look, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. The Bible says without the Spirit of God, you don't know him. He gives you his Holy Spirit as a down payment of what's going to be for the future for those of us who are his children. But the Spirit that gives life, the Spirit testifies. You know, I might say some things that sound maybe somewhat convincing this morning. Someone could come up behind me and maybe talk you out of some things. There's always people that can argue better than me or somebody else. But only we need God's Spirit, I would say, to give that everlasting yes that what we believe truly is truth. You know, we receive the witness of people, right? If I told you this morning, I drove my car here today. Okay, we'll believe Justin. He probably didn't walk here. If someone says to you, I'll cook you a meal. Do you want to come over to eat? All right, we can do that. You might not want to if I cooked. Maybe if my wife cooked, but maybe not me. But you trust the cook, right? You eat what's put in front of you. Hopefully it's all right. So we trust people. But the Bible says the witness of God is greater, and we have his Holy Spirit if we know him as Lord and Savior inside of us, and we can have confidence in that. So Jesus left us his Spirit and just didn't say, it's your tough luck, believe in me, and I'll leave you alone. No, he left his guide, his counselor, his wonderful friend with us. 1 John 5, verse 10 talks about the witness on the inside. You know, I have the witness on the inside. If you made a meal for me, and it was great, it was very tasty, and someone would say, that meal's lousy, I could say, hey, I got the witness on the inside. It was good, right? More, even more than that, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us to give us that witness that what we know is true based on his word. We can use our minds. We can also use our spirits and our emotions as the Holy Spirit works through us and use those in conjunction together in a balanced and proper way. A fourth reason, then, finally, we can believe in Jesus Christ for personal reasons, for personal reasons. Peter said in verse 69, also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So we can know for personal reasons. Peter had that confidence, and we can as well. You know, some of the finest people I know on this earth, meeting all kinds of people in different, all kinds of locations, some of the finest people I know are believers. And I would consider some of you here. We have a connection. Some of you have never met me before. Who is this clown up here? No, I don't know. But we have a connection because we know Jesus Christ. And that should impact on how we live, and it does, I know, for many of you. Some people try to counterfeit Christianity because it's such a valuable thing, but only there's many that are true and real people, and I can see that. We can believe in Jesus Christ then for personal reasons. So this morning I've been talking to you about why we can know that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, why we can believe in this book. I mean, at KGLE Gospel Radio, we're pretty much big into the Bible and into Jesus Christ. We wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the Bible and Jesus Christ. So we're a Christian radio station. Get it? Christ, Christian. So I want to make the case today. We can have confidence in what we say we believe in. Some of you may not be at that point yet. Maybe you're kind of on your journey that way and on that way. But I would commend to you that Jesus Christ alone is the answer for your condition. You know, the Bible talks about that we are born in sin, and if you don't believe that, we're sinners by choice. And when we break God's law, if I have one lie that I've said, I'm a liar. And a righteous judge is not going to let me off. God, in his laws, he said, thou shalt not lie. Right there, I'm wrong. I'm a sinner. A righteous judge is not going to let me off the hook. I'm going to have to pay the penalty. And what is the penalty that the Bible says, the penalty for sin? For the wages, for the payment, the paycheck of sin is death. Because I've sinned, I'm going to die, not just physically, but also spiritually. I'm alienated from God. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ, as we said this morning, he walked this earth. He lived the perfect life I could not live myself. He went to the cross. He fulfilled his mission. He paid the penalty for sin by his horrific, painful death on the cross. And then what did he do? He backed it up. He's not dead, because that's not helping me. He's the only person in human history to conquer death. And because of that, we know that we can trust in him. Now, has God raised other people from the dead? He has. Lazarus was raised back to life, but eventually he died, though. So only it's by the power of God that allows us to escape a physical death. And if I live long enough, I'm going to die, but I have an eternal future like my mom with the Lord. So I'd ask you this question. Maybe you have a question in your mind. There's a prayer you can say like this. Dear God, I need you. I want you. I want to be saved. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you paid my sin debt with your blood. I believe God raised you from the dead. I repent of my sin. I do a 180 from it. I turn away from my sin. I open my heart to you like a child and receive you. Come into my heart, forgive me, and save me, Lord Jesus. As simple as those words are, Jesus Christ will save you. And I hope all of you have come to that point that you've done that in your life, because in Jesus Christ, you'll know the real deal, and in him you have life eternal. And then you can ask, as all of us should, Lord Jesus, give me the power to live the way that I ought to, and help me not to be ashamed of you. Let's close in prayer here then this morning, and then if you want me to dismiss, or if you want to say a final word, Pastor will come back up here. But let's close in prayer for the message this morning, and Pastor Emma will come up and do as she sees fit. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for this opportunity to pray to you. We're thankful for the good listening of this audience this morning. Lord, we ask that it was encouraging to them. We're thankful that we can believe that you are the Christ, you are the anointed one, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and that you're not just the Savior for some people out there. You want to be the Savior of me, of us, of each and every single one of us, Lord. We're thankful we can have confidence in your word, in who you say that you are and who that you are. Lord, we're thankful that you're a living God and that you answer the great questions that all of us have, like, who am I? What's my identity? Why am I here? Where am I going? How should I live? All these questions that teenagers have today, that adults have, that children eventually will have, we will ask those questions, Lord. And your word, I would submit, gives us the answers to all those things, all those great existential questions that we have, Lord. Lord, we're thankful that we can count on you. We're thankful for this Glendive Assembly of God Church, them giving me the opportunity to share KGLE Gospel Radio, AM 590 this morning. We're thankful that I could share as well from your word from John chapter 6, Lord. We ask that you were glorified today and that what was said would bring honor to you, because that's ultimately what matters, Lord. We thank you and we praise you now. We do this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the living God, in Jesus' name, because he's our intercessor right now. We pray in his name. Amen.